Sometimes the lessons in accident reports are subtle. Other times they hit you over the head. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. We get together with Bob each Monday to talk about safety issues in general aviation. And Bob, first of all, I really appreciate your taking some time out. It remains a busy time of year for you in Western New York.
We push right through the winter very aggressively. We believe in wintertime flying. It's a wonderful time of the year to fly. If we can just manage to get our aircraft out of the hangar and to the active runway, that's an airport management job. But over at the Lancaster Airport here in Buffalo, we manage to keep things open.
All right. Well, let's talk about something that maybe comes across as insensitive in the current edition of Over the Airwaves. And that's an article you headlined, Dumb and Dumber. This is a tough territory, even for people who very respectfully talk about accident reports. Some people take offense that we even go there. And you are kind of going past that to say there are some obvious, stark, in-your-face things we can learn from these accidents.
You know, I labored long and hard about two incidences that occurred or that the NTSB has released the final probable cause reports on because they involve fatalities. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Paul. I mean, we have to be respectful of poor souls who have, you know, paid the ultimate price for lessons learned or mistakes that they made. But the lessons inherent in these accidents are so profound as to simply because they repeat over and over and over. We see the same accidents being repeated. And when we read about them in bland, legally sanitized, so as to be so remote from the true event that they don't leave an impact. And what I elected to do here, again, with respect to the individuals that did suffer that ultimate outcome, I wanted to make the point. And here, the first one that I talked about, the NTSB report, and I'm just taking it from the report, was a problem of either poor supervision from the flight school or just outright ineptness on the part of two young student pilots. In the case in hand here, they apparently got together and decided they might be able to save some money by soloing together, which is kind of an oxymoron. We can't solo together. But what they elected to do was, unbeknownst to their flight school, take a single Cessna 170 or 152 out. One person was going to fly it outbound while the other rode along as a passenger. Then they were going to switch seats and come back in the other direction. Obviously, saving some rental time on the aircraft, if you will, but clearly violating the rules and the regulations. A student has to solo, of course, by himself. Well, the tragic outcome came as a result of, upon return to the airport, rather than parking the airplane in front of the flight school in plain sight, they elected to, I guess, taxi it around behind a hangar, something like that. And the idea of one of these two students was to exit the airplane quickly and make it over to the flight school and so as not to be discovered for having flown together. Well, in quickly exiting the airplane, and if you can think in what a Cessna 152 looks like, got out of the right door, walked around the strut and straight forward in a quick move back to the flight school and walked directly through the spinning propeller. The outcome is pretty obvious, an immediate fatality. And one has to scratch their head and saying, you know, why does something like this happen? In the chain of events that lead up to it, of course, is a rule was broken, a regulation was violated. Here we have an individual. Yes, they're students. Yes, we can say they're inexperienced. There are, I suppose, some justifications for being less than stellar in their behavior around an airplane. But nonetheless, somebody lost their life, and it was a dumb pilot trick. And I can't help but think that, you know, this stuff happens, and it shouldn't happen. And by making us aware of the fact that when we try to do things like this, sometimes we get caught in ways that hurt us very seriously.
This reminds me a little bit of teenagers who get into trouble when they get friends in the car and go out driving before they're ready. Bob, you run What at this point is a Part 61 hopes to be a Part 141 flight school. And at some point, there's more to soloing than just control of the airplane. There's the decision-making end of it, too, where you want people to get into the process of establishing a thought pattern where they evaluate, you know, the weather and the route and the circumstances and their own readiness to fly and all these other human factors. You can't really babysit them right up till the end, can you?
No, you can't. Aeronautical decision-making, pre-flight actions, how to behave around an airplane. One of the things that we did immediately upon reading this and sharing it with our flight instructors, you know, a flight instructor will sometimes jump into an airplane with an engine still running. It's legal. You can get out of an airplane with the engine still running. And we sometimes have done that. I'll be in the flight school and we need to ferry a flight or something like that. Now I'll say to the instructor, pull up in front, don't shut down. I'll jump in and we'll go. We stop that. We've stopped that altogether. And we've made it a rule at the flight school that there will be never any, entry or exit from an airplane with the engine still running, simply because of the message it sends to students. If they see an instructor doing this, then students can do this. And it's poor form. I mean, we've seen crazy extensions of this where an individual will, and I'm sure some of our more experienced pilots will know this occurs, hot fueling exercises where, believe it or not, a fellow will pull up to the pump, they won't shut down, they'll fuel while the engine's still running. I mean, this is just inviting disaster. And this is the type of thing that really needs to stop. The spinning propeller is like a machine gun. It's just firing bullets, you know, every second. And the longer that spins in close proximity to a ramp, the more hazardous it becomes.
Well, Bob, when we come back from the break, let's talk about Dumb and Dumber Part 2, as you titled it in your newsletter. Bob Miller is my guest of Over the Airwaves. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, talking about Dumb and Dumber, a somewhat perhaps irreverent term in that we're talking about deceased pilots, but it's important to understand that these were egregious circumstances that we have to learn from. Bob, tell us about Part 2.
Well, in part one, you know, we had a couple of student pilots involved, and you know, one we can write this off in a way saying, you know, they're students, and unfortunately, they learned a nasty lesson. But this happens to more experienced pilots as well, and I wrote about two pilots again in an aircraft. One was a 1,700-hour pilot, and a pilot-rated passenger in the right seat, flying in a mall. They apparently were trying to get off before the passage of a thunderstorm over the airport. And, they weren't successful, Paul. They took off, according to witnesses, right into the throes of a very active, mature thunderstorm situated just 1 mile from the departure end of the runway. The storm passed within about 3 to 5 minutes. And after the storm passed, the only sign of the departing aircraft was the smoke and fire and the hole that it left as a result of being caught in the thunderstorm. According to the U.S. Weather Service, NexRed radial wind velocity images of that thunderstorm showed a divergent wind pattern of over over 60 knots in wind shear in that storm. Now, one has to ask themselves, you know, what would have been so important as to justify a departure directly into the throes of an active thunderstorm? I don't know, but I can say this from personal experiences. I think most of us, or many of us, have been in a situation where the weather is deteriorating quickly and we have to make a quick decision. Are we going to try and get out ahead of it, or are we going to, you know, batten the hatches, go into the FBO and wait it out? The latter is almost always the more prudent approach. Wait it out. These individuals didn't, and it cost them their lives.
Well, I was taught by an instructor during ground school years ago, Bob, that we were talking about special VFR, and he made the very clear point to us that special VFR is designed to get you in, not out. And not exactly what happened here, but a similar concept, and hopefully we can learn from this.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that happens far too often. Weather is the number one cause of fatal accidents, and to take off, like you just observed, into the throes of something like this comes under the category of dumb pilot tricks, and unfortunately, it hurts us all. It hurts us from an insurance perspective, and more importantly, it hurts us from a public relations perspective.
Bob, we'll look for more of your thoughts next Monday in another article from Over the Airwaves, and we really appreciate your being with us today.
Thanks, Bob.
Find the latest issue of Bob Miller's monthly newsletter at www.overtheairwaves.com. While you're there, you can subscribe free to get noticed by email when the new issues come out. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.